Join me, please, in Mark chapter 9. As you're turning there, I welcome all who gather in the name of the Lord here in person, and those who prudentially gather online, welcome to all. Mark chapter 9. I confess that I begin this morning with some trepidation. I listened to Jeff's sermon in the first service, and I'm afraid, but I'll forge ahead. I do encourage you to hear his sermon. In Mark chapter 9, we find an event that's addressed in all three of the synoptic gospels, addressed in a slightly different way in each one, and we're just going to look at this one. Mostly I'll mention something about the others, but we're going to be almost exclusively here in this account of Jesus healing a boy with an unclean spirit. I want to begin by simply getting the whole passage in front of us. So join me, please, as I look in verse 14 of Mark chapter 9. This is after the transfiguration, that dramatic event. Now they're returning. He's returning, and when they came to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately, all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I ask your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him immediately, it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, and it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." I want to talk about this encounter, but it's an interesting one because though we have an individual who speaks to Jesus, he speaks out of the crowd. And in this short passage, four times, crowd is mentioned. And I'm not sure what that means, but I'm at least going to puzzle for a moment. I want you to see that this is not so much about this individual. He's speaking out of the crowd. Now, it is an individual who has brought his son, so we'll see that. But there is a crowd at work as well. And so let's think about what happens here. From the crowd, someone says, see, that's the first thing I want you to note. It is this one speaking out of the crowd, we're told. That's the third time the word appears. And here's what he says. Oh, I forgot. I've got a two-column slide this time, and I'm pairing the words of this one from the crowd with things that Jesus says. We're just going to work through this little list and see what we can glean from thinking about the exchange that happens in this setting. Because you remember, this is told in all three, but this statement, this father's voice is heard most prominently in this account. First thing then, he says, "Teacher, I brought my son to you." Foundational statement. I know what my son's condition is. I have witnessed it. I brought him to you. You weren't here. Your disciples tried but could not succeed. They could not cure him. They could not heal him. But I brought him to you. And notice the response that Jesus offers. O faithless generation. Now, what I've left out is that language. The Father said, your disciples could not. That's the in-between part. That's the elliptical phrase. He says, I brought, they couldn't. And Jesus says, O faithless generation. Now, who is that addressed to? Who is the faithless generation? It's not the Father. It's those who are unable to cure. It's those who are unable to heal. Those who are unable to remove this unclean spirit, it seems to me. Now, this is where I tremble. I'm trying to understand the passage, and I invite your help, and please correct me if you see I've misread somewhere. But do you understand that Jesus calls people a faithless generation? You couldn't do the work. And so, then what does he say? He extends that. It's not merely, O faithless generation. He says, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you in your faithlessness? And then he says, bring the boy to me. Bring him to me. Now, it's Jesus' turn. Now, the Father gets what he anticipated. I brought him to you. And so, And immediately the spirit exercises itself in harm to the boy. And then Jesus responds. It's almost like he's a doctor taking the case, and he just asks for more information. The father extends with some repetition, but he extends this account of his son's circumstances. And then here's the next thing. The father says this. But if you can do anything, have mercy, have compassion, if you can. Okay. And then Jesus says, all things are possible to the one who believes. Now, once again, I've left something out. And for those looking at the text, you'll know. Jesus takes the words of the Father and repeats them, maybe with a slightly different intonation. The Father's earnest plea becomes something a little bit different, perhaps what Jesus says, if you can, right? All things are possible to him who believes. Now, to whom does Jesus refer when he says, to him who believes? Well, we know the Father must think that he's involved at least in part in this, because the Father then immediately says, and this is the line that is new, really, different from the other accounts, and immediately, that word immediately appears three times in this little story, the Father cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Do you know? That's a remarkable thing to say in this setting. And in one sense, I'm going to say to you, he didn't need to say it. Because when Jesus says, all things are possible to him who believes, I think he's talking about himself. Because Jesus is addressing this people who were not able to cure, his disciples. They weren't able to. I am. Why? Because I believe. That's my contention this morning. And I invite you to read the scripture and see. But it seems like Jesus is saying, I believe I can take care of this. But the Father has already said it. He immediately said, I believe. Help my unbelief. But notice this. That doesn't prompt Jesus to act, at least in the way the text presents it. Now, don't get me wrong. I do know, just in a couple of chapters prior to this, a woman speaks to him, the Syrophoenician woman, a foreigner. A woman speaks to him about a child with a spirit. And there she says, in some of my favorite words, even the dogs get the crumbs. And there Jesus says, your words have made this happen. And so in some ways we're tempted to say that here, and that may be part of the story. But notice the text, right after the Father has cried, I believe, help my unbelief. The text says, when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together. It's the crowd, again, that's involved in this. He rebuked the unclean spirit and commands it to leave and not return. A different emphasis. It's not so much about the Father. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that's wholly uninvolved, but it is not the whole of the story. And we know that because the other two accounts do not mention the Father's words. The other two accounts dwell on the contrast between the inability of the disciples and the ability of Jesus. That's the issue in this story. And so now we get this extra morsel of this elaboration of the story provided to us in this account. And I'm going to believe that every morsel matters. And that we're given in this account an extra bit. And let's see what we can get to benefit from that bit, but not let it just take us away from the main thrust of the story. And let's go on. And this, I'm going now to back to verse 28. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? You see there, now we come back to the main story. Your disciples could not. Jesus could. And now the disciples want to know, what's the difference? You gave us the power to remove spirits. You gave us the power to heal, to cure, and yet this. Well, are we in the presence of just a new kind of spirit? Well, in some ways, Jesus' answer suggests that. This kind, evil spirit first class, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. So there is a suggestion that there is something different about this spirit. But I want to dwell on Jesus' declaration of the difference about his power. He says, well, earlier he said, all things are possible to those who believe, and now prayer is required to drive this one out. And so somehow what the disciples had been given as a power, the power of God working through them, was not enough for this instance. And that's the issue of this story. And yet, in the midst of that, we have a man who says, I believe, help my unbelief. So I put up here the last pairing. It's not directly paired with the statement of the Father, but it does take us to the ending of the last words of Jesus in this story. And it lets us see that we've gone beyond the Father. But I don't want to go beyond him completely. So I want to see if we could, what can we do to wrestle with the whole of this story and take from here some things that will let us address the world more powerfully. So let's consider this. I've got a little list. with four items. Just settle down. We're going to work through four, then we'll be done. And it won't take long. And so my invitation here is to let us. Let's do this together. Let us consider what in this story that I can take, that we together can take with us to face the world tomorrow, to face each other as we try to live together before God. So the first thing is the first thing that the Father declares. Remember, out of the crowd, he said, I brought my son to you. And so I encourage us to remember that first and foremost, bring it to Jesus. We find ourselves immersed in crowds of one kind. I know in some ways that's weird to say because we are socially distanced. But we are in virtual crowds, and our minds are in crowds, and we speak out of a crowd. That is the modern circumstance, I think. We speak out of a crowd, but let us do like this Father. Let's understand that the burdens we bear, we can bring them to Jesus. And in this instance, the cure is there. But whatever the response, it is proper to bring it to Jesus because he's the one that's going to give us this ability to contain what we face, to bear it, to endure it, to thrive under the burden. It is the simple fact that we brought it to Jesus. Secondly, I want you to understand that it is the belief of Jesus and it is the prayer of Jesus that matter. Okay. So now, this is in some ways will feed into the next observation. In some ways, we've got to be careful that we do not make an idol of our own belief. Now, that may sound like a weird notion to you, but I invite you to consider, because we could make our beliefs, so my belief is so big, my belief is so great and so strong and so mighty, nothing can take it. Well, there's a place for that, but I want you to remember that we need to not dwell on my belief, but the source, the vector of our belief, on him, on what he can do. And particularly here, it is the faithfulness of Jesus. It is his belief. Oh, faithless generation, he says. Don't be like that. Be the faithful generation and see the power of God at work because of faith that we have. But also, simply because we believe. Right? So it's not a magical quantity of belief. I'm wrestling here. I don't know exactly how to put all this, but I do invite you to think about it. It's not about us. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have to believe, but I don't want our belief to turn inward to us. It's my belief, and it's a lovely ornament, and it's a beautiful decoration in my life. No. My belief points me to Jesus. My belief gets me to Jesus. My belief brings me to bring to Jesus the burdens of my life. And there I rest in his belief and I rest in his prayer. Now, I'm not sure how prayer works in this story, except he says it does. He does not pray that we're told in this story. He commands and the unclean spirit wrestles and comes forth. And so either there's a prayer that we don't know about or there is a foundation of prayer. There is a life of prayer that Jesus has that has created the sustaining power. And apparently is part of what differentiated him from the disciples. And so, however imperfectly we might try, it seems like for us, we can benefit from saying, let's pray like Jesus. Let's have the power that comes from praying like Jesus. Can we do that? Well, probably many of you do it much better than I do, but when I read a passage like this, I want the power that comes. And remember, it's not the power that I pray and it happens right then. It is some kind of, in fact, maybe that's what's shown us here. It's not a prayer in this moment. It's all the prayers behind us. And so today, perhaps, we might, in our own prayers, we might say, help me pray like Jesus. Help me to have the power to bring forth as fully as possible in my life, not in a miraculous way like this, but still bring forth into my life the power of God that he has for me. He's made available to me, to us, and it's available through prayer. Jesus accesses it. He says, you can do this. I can do this because of prayer. And of course, we're maybe in a talking different scale, a different league from Jesus himself, but we're still in the same game. It may be Bush League, but it is still the same game. We are still fighting Satan. We are still enacting the life of God in his world. And the power of prayer is there to enhance it. Thirdly, let's remember those words, those I believe, help my unbelief. Do you understand the temptation at that moment? If he thought my words will determine this outcome, it'd be pretty tempting to say I believe and then just be quiet. I believe, stop, because that sounds like the official answer. That sounds like the right answer for this occasion. And I want this. I brought him my son. I want his help. I'm going to say what is needed. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't simply say, I believe. Now, don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with saying, I believe. And I'm certainly not holding up unbelief as the true goal of our thought. But I am holding up to you the words we're given in the Bible. Here this man comes to Jesus and says, I believe, help my unbelief. Do you know one of the interesting parts? I wrestle with this a lot trying to make sense of it. And it may simply be that he says, I do believe as best I can, but I ask for your help to clean out the corners of my heart and my mind. Help me thoroughly. Help me be like the one who can do this, not like the disciples. There is a difference. Oh, faithless generation. And so in some ways he's asking, or at least we could ask, help us not be like the disciples. Now that sounds pretty strange, but the disciples were often a clueless bunch. We learn from them, but we don't want to be like them completely. We want to be not that faithless generation, but all things are possible for one who believes. Not miraculously, but nonetheless, really and truly, all things are possible for those who believe. And so let us be like the Father and boldly say, I believe. But then notice, as we take these words with us, and I invite you to mull them over. And I'm glad to be corrected or encouraged as you extend my understanding of these words. Notice what he does. At first he says, he makes himself the subject, I do believe. But then he, continuing immediately, he switches. He switches to the one who has the power to do something. He switches to you. It's an implied, right? It's a polite command here. You help my unbelief. Even now. Even now when it might be best just to say, I believe and stop, he appeals to Jesus. I believe. I'm here. I brought my son. I believe. I'm asking you for help in my unbelief. Give the man credit for his honesty. Give the man credit for his recognition that even his powers of believing may have limits. And I want to press beyond those limits if that's what's needed. I want your help. You understand that even here in his declaration of belief, he turns to the one who's able. He brings his unbelief to Jesus in the same way he brought his son. You understand that. We can do the same. Once again, I just have to emphasize this. I don't want you to imagine that I'm excusing doubt. Right? I've read James 1, and I know that we can pray for wisdom, but let's pray without doubting, right? And the passage really goes on, right? Just to elaborate about those who doubt or like the sea, and a metaphor developed there. And then he says, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So this is not a lesson promoting doubt. I think it's a lesson that promotes the presence of real people before Jesus. Because this was a real man. He was out of a crowd, unnamed, immersed in a crowd, speaking forth from a crowd. But he doesn't hesitate to speak. He says, I brought my son to you. I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus says, if you can, all things are possible. Don't you understand? To those who believe. And Jesus is talking about himself. So if Jesus can affirm for himself the power of belief, then let's be like Jesus as much as we can. Obviously, we're trailing behind, but we are in the same game. And that is doing the best we can to be faithful to the God who called us. Jesus was. And that's why we have what we have next. And that's why we have hope. I want to end with hope because, well, I want to. The word's not used in the passage. But I want to end with it because there's not a person here, there's not a person hearing this story that doesn't want to go forth to face the day, the rest of this day, much less tomorrow, with hope. And we've been given that in this story. This man came helpless. This man swamped in a crowd, calls for, wants his Jesus to do something. Jesus isn't there. You guys are his disciples. You take care of it, and they can't do it. And then he says, even to Jesus, if you can, there's a condition. If you can, help us. And Jesus, if? What do you mean, if? All things are possible to one who believes. That's the main point. And the guy says, I'm with you. I believe. And then he adds, you can even help me with my unbelief. So when you have a moment of doubt, that's what we have here. It's not a lifetime of doubt that's permitted, but it is a chance for us to see a real person with a real need meeting the one who has power. And why does he have power? Because he believes and because he prays. And we can do the same. Will you join me in prayer? Holy God, we know that you planned for Jesus to help us. And your plan rested on him believing and choosing to be faithful all the way to the cross, the tomb, the resurrection, the ascension, the seating at your right hand. And he was faithful. He believed. And he lived his belief. And he prayed his belief. Help us do so too. Help us to attend to your words. Help us to search gladly and test and see. And help us remember that it's not our power, it's yours. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our crowd is not terribly large here, but you're in a crowd. And you have a chance to give a voice now. I know most of you are already believers in the Lord Jesus. You do believe. Pray like you believe. Pray like Jesus did so you can have the power. And if you feel overwhelmed by your own unbelief, it's time to come pray too. Come offer your prayer to help my unbelief. This is a message of hope. This is a message of promise. We can be part of the one who did believe and did pray and did call forth demons and bring forth a kingdom. Let us do our part to be in that kingdom. If you need to respond this morning by making a confession, you're invited to do so in just a moment. If you need help, if you are a believer and you've gotten lost, bring your burden to Jesus. And people here will be glad to hear and share that burden and draw on the power of prayer so that we can go forth from here a people of hope and power. If you need to respond, please do so as we stand and as we sing.